Thanks for coming. I'm going to be talking about a project today examining physical activity among low-income African American women. It's not an intervention. It's a descriptive qualitative study, just to warn you, since the title of the panel was interventions. I don't have any financial disclosures or other conflicts to report. And I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes on the background, since I think we all know that there's long been a clear link between physical activity and health. And we also know that many Americans don't engage in enough physical activity to meet recommended guidelines, and that includes African American women. And additionally, African American women have high rates of the physical inactivity-related chronic conditions, including obesity. So increasing long-term participation in physical activity among African American women could contribute to a reduction in some of these chronic conditions and is an important public health issue. So there's been quite a bit more research on physical activity among African American women in recent years. And a lot of those studies have focused on barriers to physical activity among African American women, and you can see those listed here. We have limited knowledge about contextually relevant strategies for negotiating these barriers and helping African American women become more active. In terms of intervention studies, there's certainly a lot more intervention studies recruiting high numbers of African American women in recent years, and some have shown some modest success for increasing physical activity participation in the short term. There's limited information on long-term participation and being able to carry that adoption into a maintenance phase among African American women, and most of these strategies are not specific to low-income women. Just one more point about what's currently going on in the literature. You know, few studies have focused specifically on gaining an in-depth understanding of the role of context in physical activity experiences for African American women. And so if you think about long-term participation in any healthy lifestyle domain, including physical activity, it's the long-term integration that's critical, and that long-term integration occurs in sort of that daily lived social and cultural context. So one path to developing culturally and contextually relevant physical activity interventions is to study the people you're interested in their context, and people who are doing what you're interested in getting them to do. So in this study, I studied physically active women, and they were active at nationally recommended levels for at least a year. And we were examining how these women started physical activity, and then how and why they continued physical activity and integrated it into their daily lives. So the purpose of the study was to examine the process by which low-income African-American women integrate long-term physical activity participation into daily life, with a special focus on the role of social and cultural context. And this project is the second in a series, the first one studying middle-income African-American women. We recruited from study participants of a previous physical activity study called Make the Move. And these participants were recruited from two public housing sites in the greater Boston area. They didn't have to be a resident, but most of them were. And they were African American men and women in this Make the Move study, age 24 to 70. And most of them had a high school education or less, and many of them had an annual income less than about $20,000. And of course, we recruited from the ones who indicated they'd like to be in a future study, which happened to be all of them. So what we did is we recontacted these participants and we screened them to see if they met the criteria for this particular project. They had to be female. They had to be, they had to have met the physical activity requirements. Let me back up. In Make the Move, they wore accelerometers. So they had to be physically active per that accelerometer data to be recontacted, and then we screen them again for physical activity level, which I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So 112 of the participants met our criteria, and when we recontacted them, the biggest issue was we wanted to make sure they were still physically active at nationally recommended levels. And there were a few other inclusion and exclusion criteria. As you might imagine, in studying a low-income population recruited from public housing, 41% of them were unreachable. That was no good phone number, no good address. A few were deceased and a few had moved away. 34 of the women that we screened were ineligible, and that was wholly due to not being physically active at nationally recommended levels anymore. There were a few who had restarted, but they had just recently restarted, so they didn't meet the one-year criteria. So as I mentioned before, this was a qualitative study. It was guided by grounded theory. We did really open-ended interviews, one-on-one in-depth interviews, lasted about 45 minutes to an hour. And we used an interview guide that was developed in the initial study that focused on a few key domains, sort of a lifetime, physical activity, history. We looked at sort of those critical transition times in life, getting married, having babies, things like that. Planning your physical activity, social support, relapse, some of the benefits, and race and culture. We also did some brief sociodemographic survey after the interview, and we pulled some of the data from the Make the Move study, which was quite an extensive survey, and in particular, we pulled some of the neighborhood characteristics and some expanded sociodemographics. We did a lot with the data analysis. I'm just going to focus on two areas here. One of them is this codebook development area. We didn't start with an a priori codebook. We did develop a grounded codebook, and we had quite an extensive codebook reliability phase of the study, which I'm happy to talk more about afterwards in questions or after the session if anyone's interested. Once we had that completed, we had one coder go back and code all of the interviews with that final codebook, which had about 40 codes in it. And when that was completed, we took a look at what codes were being applied across all the interviews. And so we set a criteria for the thematic analysis that we were only going to look at codes that had been applied in at least half of the interviews and that had in Vivo 8, which is the software we used, had at least median coverage in terms of the amount of text that was attributed to that particular code. And so we then engaged in a thematic analysis on 11 of the codes, 11 of those 40 codes that we initially started with, and three code groups. There were three groups that were sort of an amalgamation of three or four codes that ended up being quite similar. We also did, these last three bullets are some things we did to ensure the sort of the scientific rigor of the study, and we did raw data verification, member checks with three of our participants, and we also did peer debriefing throughout, and we have one more external peer debriefing to be done soon. So I'd like to start with some of the results about the personal and social context for physical activity participation. This is sort of the sociodemographics, who were they type of stuff. Of course, they were all African-American women, U.S. born, both parents were U.S. born. About half had high school education or less, and half, they were split. Half had some post-high school training. I'll just summarize the table for you in case it's hard to see. They were mostly single. Most had children. Most were non-smokers, but that was split. Many of the women were obese by BMI cut points, and these are physically active women. It was an older sample. There was a wide range, but the median age was 49. The median level of physical activity was just over 100% of the recommendations. It was 152%, and the median time active was almost 3 years. So here's some of the income and household data. This is family income, and all of the women reported income, family income less than $40,000 a year. Half of them reported family income less than $20,000 a year. And just for reference, median household income in the U.S. for 2008 was $52,000, and in Massachusetts, where this study was done, it was $65,000. Most of the women had fairly small households. They didn't have small children at home, and thus they were supporting only a few people on this income that we're reporting here. About half had a car. So this is some context about the neighborhood. Where was this physical activity taking place? And you'll hear me later say that almost all the women were walking for their physical activity, so this is part of why this context becomes interesting. And women generally had positive views of their neighborhood as places for doing physical activity. They had generally favorable ratings for services in walking distance, transit in walking distance. They had generally favorable ratings for free and low-cost recreational facilities in the area, as well as biking. And I'm going to move through this slide a little quicker because I'm seeing the time cards here, just to point out that one thing that was split was on safety. About half of the women reported that, let me just take a look here, 7 thought walking was safe at night, so that's half, and 9 thought walking was safe during the day. So many or most of the women thought it was safe, but there was certainly a split there. So here's the findings related to the physical activity participation and the key themes that emerged from the interviews. And we're just going to take a look at the bottom half of this slide. And I did want to point out, if you look at bullet 3, that everyone engaged in at least 2 activities to reach their total physical activity. So they were utilizing multiple things to get their physical activity during the week. And that almost everybody walked. There was limited engagement with gym-based activities and structured exercise. So here are the key concepts about why and how these women were integrating physical activity into their daily lives. What emerged really strongly was getting healthy, and that included overall health and chronic disease prevention, weight loss, and mental health. And this was something women talked about over and over again, in sometimes very sophisticated language. They also talked about social connections and that physical activity was a really important way to connect with friends and family, working out and walking with family and friends, as well as the social connections keeping them active, somebody counting on them to go walking 3 times a week, or someone asking them questions about their healthy lifestyle plans. And finally, women talked a lot about satisfaction, the idea that physical activity really challenged them, and they had this sense of accomplishment and commitment that came from meeting their physical activity goals and engaging in physical activity. Another important theme that emerged was around how women planned their physical activity, and I thought this was really interesting because women fell mostly in sort of 2 different camps, and one was a flexibility scheme that they used to plan their regimen, and that was around being very flexible about the types of activities that they were going to engage in, when they were going to engage in them, and even their goals. They had, some women had sort of loose time and frequency goals, but they were also very flexible about that. And even more interesting to me, based on my previous study, was this idea of freedom. We had a fair group of women who felt that physical activity did not need to be planned, it's just something you did, and that they just didn't ascribe to that idea of planning out their regimen. The one other thing I wanted to point out here was that women really talked quite a bit about planning their physical activity so that it didn't strain them physically or overstress them. It couldn't be something that made them tired or feel physically strained. There were a few challenges to physical activity participation. I'm going to focus on 2. One is financial challenges. As you can imagine, women, they were navigating successfully, but they really wished they had access to more options for physical activity. And I also want to point out there at the bottom, the influence of racial and cultural norms did not emerge strongly for these women. They really, as an important factor for either facilitating physical activity or being a challenge to physical activity, they really talked a lot more about gender or socioeconomic position as being a more salient context. I apologize for going so fast. Some limitations. It's clearly a small sample size. It's within reason for this type of study, but it limits who we can apply this to. These were urban, low-income, African-American women in that middle age range. The other one thing I want to talk about on this slide is it was one interview. So there was limited time for rapport development and thus limited time to develop the trust required to talk really deeply about some issues around race and culture. And I thought, well, perhaps if we had had a little more time, maybe we could have gone deeper into that idea of racial and cultural context. So in conclusion, We see here that low-income women can find ways to be physically active that is within their budget, but they'd really like some more opportunities to do it. Health messages, socialization messages are really key, and I'll just let you look at this slide for a minute because I have to stop. So thank you. I apologize for that. That was really quick.